You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
It's time for our state news roundup. Today we take a look at the state's projected budget deficit and what's behind all the talk about a presidential bid from Governor Scott Walker. Noah Ovshinsky joins us now. He's WPR's assistant news director. Welcome back, Noah.
It's good to be here, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. Well, for a long time now, there's been a lot of talk about whether Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, would run for president. Most of that talk's been from people who aren't named Scott Walker. Are things starting to change now?
I think perhaps, I will say. In interviews with national media this week, Governor Walker has suggesting, but not coming out and saying it, but suggesting that he and his advisors are, in fact, preparing a run for president.
Now, I know there's a lot of attention to this piece with Politico. What kind of things is he telling them?
Yeah, right. So in an interview with Politico, among many things, I'm just going to quote directly from the article because I think it sort of illustrates what we're talking about. He said, quote, I think there's going to be a hunger for a leader who can actually get things done. The closer I've gotten to this position, the more I've realized that anyone who really wants to be president has to be a little crazy. The only way you should run is if you feel called to.
But did he say, hey, Politico, yeah, I'm in?
No. He told Politico that he hasn't decided whether to run yet, but it is clear that he and his advisors are, you know, talking pretty seriously about it. He told Politico that a potential campaign headquarters would be located in Madison. He also asked close aides just after this recent election to stay on to help him prepare for a possible run for the White House.
So what kind of things would the staff be doing? What kind of things would he be doing between now and that election to bolster his credentials?
Right. So this article we're talking about basically says, you know, Walker is designing a budget and a legislative agenda that he is going to use as the basis of his presidential run. Of course, we talked about a few of those things that came out in press conferences here in Wisconsin, you know, after the election.
So what are some of those things that would be on that agenda?
Yeah, repealing the Common Core standards, requiring drug testing for those on public assistance, cutting property taxes, even more. You know, take those, assuming they are passed by the legislature.
And he's got a Republican legislature likely to be sympathetic with those goals. A lot of them have expressed wanting to do exactly those things.
Exactly. Take those and combine them with, you know, Walker's battle with the unions. And, you know, you have a pretty potent conservative message.
And there's a lot of people thinking of running. Is this part of the goal here to, I guess, contrast him with likely competitors if he should run, if they should run?
Yeah. I mean, I think Walker and his advisors, you know, hope that his record, both what he's done in the last 3 years as well as what he's going to do early next year, you know, that that record will stand in stark contrast to what's happening in Washington, D.C., you know, as well as the states where his potential competitors in a presidential primary would hail from, including Louisiana, New Jersey, Ohio, Texas.
So did he send any other signals this week?
Yeah. So Walker told U.S. News and World Report that his family is on board when it comes to a possible presidential run. And again, I'm going to quote directly from the article. You know, he said, quote, I think right now my wife would be on board for just about anything. He says, I couldn't do it without the support of my wife.
Now, these are questions that came up during the race for governor. What was his response then?
Right. So he never. Basically, what he said, both in debates and in press conferences around the state in the run-up to that election, he said that his plan was to serve a full 4-year term. It was his plan to serve that term. He never promised to, but he said that was his plan. So, you know, throughout the campaign, a pretty non-committal response.
So we'll probably be watching to see if he gets his political passport stamped in places like, oh, I don't know, Iowa, New Hampshire, other early primary states, swing states, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, back home in Wisconsin, we have a budget to pass next year, and we got some budget news today that may, I guess, shape what legislators and the governor have to work with.
Right. So we just talked about some of the things that may be on that agenda. Of course, the budget is a big part of it. And the big takeaway from the numbers that were released this week by the Walker administration, the budget is not looking great. It shows that there is a $2.2 billion difference in what state agencies want to spend in the next two-year budget and the money that state government will actually have on hand.
All right, so let's tackle part one there, the spending side. What kind of increases are state agencies looking for?
Yeah, so as a whole, they want around a 5% increase in general fund spending in the next fiscal year. And a 6% increase the year after that.
These are budget requests. Are they carved in stone, or is this kind of a wish list? Are they going to get what they're asking for?
No, you use the exact term that I would use. It's a wish list, exactly. You know, that said, you know, some of these agencies, you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room, you know, unless big changes are made to their budgets. And when we talk about this projected deficit, you know, big changes may have to be made. When I talk about not having a lot of wriggle room, you know, I would say the Department of Health Services would be an example. You know, it runs Badger Care. And, you know, the question is, if we're looking at a deficit, you know, are we looking at cuts to Badger Care? And that, at that point, at this point, at least, it's an open question. But there, in some of these agencies, there's not a lot of wriggle room.
Now, this is, we've been talking about the next couple of years here. There's also some revisions, I think, to what they anticipate in our current budget cycle.
Right. So the same numbers that were released this week also discussed the current fiscal year. And it's again projecting that we're looking at ending this fiscal year with $130 million deficit. And, you know, that can go up. That could go down. It could stay the same. It frankly all depends on whether the revenue projections you know, actually come true.
So these revenues were projected some time ago, I gather, in the earlier budget process. Have revenues, for the most part, been meeting expectations in that budget planning process?
Right. So the estimate we're talking about assumed a revenue increase. And when we say revenue, we're talking about essentially tax mm-hmm. revenue, an increase of 5%. The reality is, at least through the first quarter of this fiscal year, revenues are coming in around 2.5% less than that projection. So that $130 million deficit we're talking about, you know, could realistically grow as we move through the next few months.
Now, these are requests for the next couple of years from different state agencies. Anything surprising in this report on what we're seeing from them?
Right. I mean, obviously, we're talking about wish lists here. It's, you know, no guarantee that this is what the agencies are going to get. The Department of Transportation, interestingly enough, is asking for really a substantial increase in the amount of money it gets from the general fund.
So, I mean, we've heard a lot about transportation budgets this last year. We had, it was a little overshadowed by the governor's race, that referendum, the constitutional amendment, sequestering, in effect, transportation money. This is a complicated part of our budget.
It is tricky, and it's becoming more so because people are driving less, cars are becoming more fuel efficient, which means less gas taxes that are being collected in order to support road construction.
Let's stick with transportation for a couple. Where is the Department of Transportation hoping to find money to make up those things you just said and pay for road projects here?
So Secretary Mark Gottlieb released a plan late last week that basically outlines what he would like to happen, mm-hmm. where he'd like to get that money. He'd like to create a new fee on new vehicle purchases, create a fee for hybrid and electric vehicles. He'd also like to restructure the current gas tax in a way that yields even more revenue.
So, okay, I go to buy a new car. How does this fee on vehicle purchase work for
right.
me?
Right. So it wouldn't be a flat fee. According to Gottlieb, it would essentially be calculated as a percentage of the sale price. So the more you pay for the car, essentially, the more you would pay in this fee.
So these are the kind of things where, okay, you're using the road, you're buying a car, whatever. That's where road money is coming from. Anything outside of that, though?
Well, the secretary also wants about $575 million transferred from the general fund to his budget. And just as a reminder, the general fund is what pays for K-12 education, the state's share of Badger Care, Department of Corrections, UW. I mean, this is essentially where your income and sales taxes go.
So this is a proposal. It's not a law, not in stone, not a budget yet. What's next?
Right. This is a proposal. He submitted his plan to the governor's office, and it's, you know, basically up to the governor to decide, you know, what he's going to include in his budget when it comes to transportation funding. Again, in many ways, this is a wish list like we've been talking about, and it'll largely depend on what the governor wants to take from that and include in his next budget.
Well, these things are going to fuel our conversations over the next year. Noah, thanks as always.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
That was Noah Ovchinsky. He's WPR's assistant news director, joins us each week at this time to round up the top stories in Wisconsin news.
I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.